Welcome to the Real Momentum Podcast with Mike Spivey and Keith Boggs. This is a program that encourages and challenges men through biblical discussions on manhood, interviews with key leaders, and powerful messages from a variety of different speakers. Everything that the Real Momentum Podcast does is focused on one mission: helping men win. Let's see what Mike Spivey and Keith Boggs has for us today on The Real Momentum.
Listen to some verses. 1 Kings chapter 2, verse number 2. There's a strong admonition. It says, be strong and show yourself a man. What a word. Then I love the statement in Nehemiah. It says, it's a pretty significant statement. Should a man such as I flee? Should I leave this responsibility that God's given me to be on this wall and what God's called me to do? Should I leave this? He didn't leave it thinking about the question was as a governor or a leader or some other type of responsibility. It was his manhood that made him cling to that responsibility on that wall and build that wall for God's glory. And then Joshua, as for me and my house, at the end of his life, looking through all that God let him experience, all that God showed him, all the miracles God showed him, as for me and my house, he kept thinking about as for me and my house, looked around, I don't care what you do, but as for me and my house, we're going to walk with God. They made decisions. They took ownership in their day and their time with the people they were responsible for, and praise God they did. We have privileges to see that play out over time. So manhood ultimately, I think, is a decision. We've got to own what God wants us to be and how God wants us to live as men in every opportunity. In other words, we need to push past the little boy inside of us. I don't care what age we are, we want to be little boys. It's in us. It's in us, right? We pout, we whine, we cry, we bellyache, and we go on and on and on. And my wife will sometimes look at me and say, that came out of your mouth? Right? I mean, we get in that state, and it's not good. I've realized that my influence can influence others, and if I'm in down in the mouth and down in the attitude, I'm going to probably lead the rest of them to be that way. And may God expose me to help me realize I need to push past the little boy in me to be the man God wants me to be in any situation. Just three simple statements in terms of ownership. I believe if you're a man and you have a wife and you have the privilege to be a father, you have children and even grandchildren, you're the primary theologian for your family. It's the Word of God. Not your pastor, not the Sunday school teacher, not Beth Moore, amen? Not other lady teachers that are great teachers, but listen, I didn't know what my wife's hearing. Because there's a picture of a wife and the Word of God that heard from Satan, and he didn't do anything about it. So I need to know what they're hearing. You know what my girls hear, what my boys hear, where's truth at? I'm the primary theologian. Number two, I'm the primary historian for my family. From my wife. I need to tell the story about the gospel in my life, not only from the Word of God and how God's changed the course of history and other people's lives, but how God's working in my life, how God has worked in my life, and what I anticipate God doing in my life. I want to tell the story, the old, old story of what God's done for me and what God can do for us. Amen? I want to keep telling the story. I need to own that. I need to take priority in that. I need to own the story of the gospel in the Boggs family. You know why? Somebody else wants to write the story. Amen? And he has written part of my story. I know what it is to be deceived and sifted by Satan. I know what it means to be pruned and refined by Almighty God. I'd much rather let God do what he does in the pruning process and the refining process because I know him. I can trust him. I can depend upon him. And when he takes ownership and I allow him to do that and my surrender in that, God does something special. Lastly, you're the primary apologist for your family. What's the answer to life's questions? What's the answer to life's struggles and all that we deal with and all that comes across our pages in terms of history? Well, how do we know how to answer the question? If you're not being discipled, you can't answer the question unless you just got a move of God. That's what I've come to realize. If nobody's discipling you, I know somebody who can, and his name is Jesus. Do you want it that bad? He's good at it. Ain't he, Brett? He's good at it. He knows what to do with you. But it also helps to have some other men come around you. Yeah. Number three, manhood. Praying for movement, praying for ownership, praying for manhood. What in the world is manhood? How do you define it? We're praying for God to ignite a discipleship movement, a biblical manhood that transforms families and churches to the ends of the earth. We want to see our world change. it is changing, but going in the wrong direction. You can have momentum, and it can be ugly. Amen? I watched my football team get beat with the momentum I don't like, right? The score runs up pretty quick, and I turn the TV off. Can't stand it. And I'm not even in the stadium. I'm sick, and I didn't pay for a ticket. I wasted 3 hours here, and it ain't getting any better. But you know why? Because the other team's got the momentum. But there's been times I've watched my team that were getting beat, and all of a sudden they catch the momentum and they turn the game around, and all of a sudden they win the game, and we all like that. That's what we need with men. When we get the right call and the right response and the right obedience and the right privilege, and we connect with another man, we connect with the church, and all of a sudden we connect with the Word, and God connects with us, and we begin to see what used to be looked like pure hell, but now what's coming on the way looks like the Lord Jesus Christ and heaven's on the way, and it's a powerful thing. Who doesn't want that? So ignite a movement of biblical manhood. Here's a definition from Dr. Robert Lewis that we're currently working through at First Baptist Woodstock on Wednesday nights. It's been a really powerful time, and we can't wait to see what God does for the next 8 weeks. The first 2 weeks have been outstanding, and we praise God for it. But we're moving toward a definition from Dr. Robert Lewis in the teaching called Better Man that's really been powerful. And if you've been through some of Robert Lewis's stuff, you know that he has had a definition, and I think that's still the foundation from what these other outlying truths are from Genesis chapter, early on in Genesis, and mainly coming out of chapter 2. But the bottom line is, number one, a real man courageously follows God and His Word. That's what a man does. A man of God follows God and His Word. He surrenders to what God says, and he submits to the authority of God, and it's what we do. And some other men I've heard teach before, and I love this because it helps me see the Bible really clear. Warren Wiersbe used to teach that, or he has taught, and he's written it down in his commentaries, that the Bible tells us what is right, amen, what's right about manhood, what's right about womanhood, what's right about family, what's right about giving, what's right about the church, what's right, and then what's not right. And so we can learn what's not right from the Word of God. That's why we need other men to help us discern what this looks like and feels like. Then thank God He tells us how to get right. When we find out He tells us what's right and what's not right, thank God He doesn't leave me there. He helps me get right, and praise God, I'm not stuck there. I can stay right. Amen? I can stay right. So the Word of God tells me what's right, what's not right, how to get right, and praise God, I can stay right walking with Jesus, living out this privilege I have with Him. Number two, a real man loves and protects God's woman. A real man loves and protects God's woman. If you have a mama, say amen. Amen. She's God's woman. If you have a wife, say amen. Amen. She's God's woman. If you have a daughter, say amen. Amen. She's God's woman. If you have a daughter-in-law, say amen. Amen. If you have a daughter that's a granddaughter, say amen. Amen. Hey, if you're a part of a church, say amen. Amen. A real man loves and protects God's woman. Question. Maybe you're good in all these other areas, but what about the bride of Christ? Do you love and protect the bride of Christ? It'll change. If we really love and protect the bride of Christ, we'll change how we make disciples. Because we understand who we are as men, that we've surrendered to God and His Word. God says make disciples. I have no choice in this. I've got to learn how to do this. I've got to take ownership in this. Because if the church never does it, praise God, God spoke to me. I can do it no matter where I go. Question, if God's so fit to move you from where you are to another place where there was no gospel, does that city have a chance to know Jesus Christ as Lord? It's a good question. That's the call on our life. It's expected to leave us. It's expected to work in us. He said, I'm working, I'm laboring, I'm giving this out because God's working in me. The question is, God may have worked in you, but that may be about it. God wants to work through you. And that's a big deal. So a real man loves and protects God's woman. How are you protecting the bride of Christ? How are you protecting your wife? How are you taking care of your daughters? Do you love and protect them? You look in Genesis, we find out, I think we could probably say that Adam loved his wife, but where the downfall was, he didn't protect her. He didn't protect her. And we are all paying a price for that. Number three, a real man excels at God's work. A real man excels at God's work. If you have a job, say amen. That's a worship encounter with Almighty God. That's not a paycheck. You were created to work. God made you to work. Amen? God made you to work. So that job you have is an act of worship. It ought to change how you sell insurance. It ought to change how you frame that house. It ought to change how you teach school. It ought to change how you coach. You know why? It's an act of worship. God created me to connect with Him through the privilege of work. It's not a curse. You've been created to work. Amen? So don't buy into what the culture says about work. What an honor God give me to work, no matter what that looks like. I cut the grass for the glory of God. You know why? I get to cut the grass. Amen? I don't sometimes don't like it, but I think about it. Man, I get to cut the grass. Amen? Hey, don't cut the grass for me. I want to cut the grass. I want my hands to get dirty. I've been made to work. I'm worshiping God. Thank you for what you've given me to take care of, God. You're so good to me. And draw other people to yourself because of what you're doing in the work. That's worship. Could you imagine how our companies would change if we just went to work with the attitude of worship? How many men would come and know Christ because you worship Almighty God? Who cares what the government says? Right? That's how they're shaping culture. You bought into a lie. God's bigger than a company. I know that. You can live by faith. Trust me. You can live by faith. That's how He made you. Think about a farmer. Where's it coming from? Good night, God. It's got to rain. Can't make it rain. I got to put this seed in the ground. God, please make it rain. Please make it rain. God created you with intent, design, intelligent design for a reason. So worship Him. And the beauty is when you go to work and when you come home, when you go to church, nothing changes. You know why? You're worshiping Almighty God. Stop shutting Him off and be the man God called you to be. Everywhere you go, it's your assignment. God took you and put you on this earth for a reason. You've been appointed by Almighty God, and stop robbing Him from his great glory. Be what God wants you to be. Number four, a real man betters God's world. A real man betters God's world. I heard a preacher say this last week. I want to say it to you. For the man of God, all ground is holy ground. For the man of God, listen to this. For the man of God, every bush is a burning bush. Our worship should never stop if we know Jesus as our Lord and Savior. And so we better God's world everywhere we go. And I think everywhere we go ought to be better because a man of God's there. A man of God's there. He's in that meeting. He's in that conversation. He's in that blackboard room where they're thinking about the next step. He's helping it be better. His family's better. His wife's better. His kids are better. You know why? He's a man of God. He's taking responsibility and he's owning his manhood. He's being what God wants him to be, and everything else is coming alive and it's impacting those around him for the glory of God.
If you've been enjoying the spiritual insights, stories, and practical strategies we share here on Real Momentum, the absolute best way you can support the show is by taking just 60 seconds right now to do two things. First, hit that subscribe or follow button. Subscribing ensures you never miss an episode of inspiration and that every new discussion is waiting for you the moment it drops. Second, please leave us a quick rating and review. Those 5-star ratings and your honest reviews are fuel for our show. They help other leaders like you find our ministry and keep the momentum building. But wait, there's one more thing. We don't just want to talk to you, we want to connect with you. We want to hear about your real momentum moments. You can find all of the show notes, resource links, and transcripts for this episode at realmomentum.men/rmpodcast. And please, join the conversation. Connect with us directly on all the social media platforms by searching for Real Momentum. Send us a DM or tag us with your biggest takeaway from today's episode. Thank you for being a part of the movement to reach and lead men to follow Christ.